We are doing Pirkei Avot. We're in the first chapter, the seventh Mishnah. Those of you who wish to follow, you could open up a Siddur. We have Pirkei Avot printed after Mincha Shabbat. Nitai HaOveli Omer, Nitai from the city of Arbel, used to say the following teaching frequently. He used to say, Halchek Mishachen Ra, distance yourself from a bad neighbor. Now, ordinarily a neighbor is someone you're close to. That's the idea, Shachen. You live close to one another. He says, distance yourself. You don't want to be close to such a person. You have a neighbor with bad traits? No. Distance yourself from such a neighbor. Ve'al titchaber la'rasha. And don't connect, don't attach yourself to the wicked. Sometimes it's very tempting. We're offered a business partnership, we're offered a good deal, and we know the person is a wicked person, but it seems like it's going to be fruitful. Al titchaber, don't attach yourself to that person. Sometimes you see a person, certain traits, should just walk away. Should just know you're better off not having anything to do with that person. Even if you will make the money, you lose on the spiritual side. So Chazal instructed us that a person has to distance himself from a neighbor that's bad. But if you have a wicked person that's not your neighbor, so then don't attach to him. Then we don't have to tell you to distance yourself. We just have to say, don't get attached. Now, what happens if this person wants to do tshuva? He wants to come learn by you. So that's a different story. Of course, we welcome him. Ve'al titya'esh min ha'puranut. And don't give up from bad things. So here there are a few understandings. We'll go with one understanding. If you see a wicked person who's having a lot of success, don't think his success is eternal. Don't give up, don't worry, eventually bad things happen to everyone. So right now he seems to be successful. You'll see. There's an alternate understanding that's the exact opposite. When things go well, people tend to think they'll always go well. And they assume it'll never go bad. So the Mishnah warns us, don't think that bad things will never happen. Even when things are good, remember, bad things can happen. A person should save for a rainy day. We're holding the first chapter, and now we're up to Mishnah Chet. פרק אבות פרק א' משנה ח' יהודה בן טבעי ושמעון בן שטח קיבלו מהם יהודה בן טבעי ושמעון בן שטח got their tradition from יהושע בן פרחיה ניתאי הרבלי. Now you guys know שמעון בן שטח was Yana Amelech's brother-in-law. When Yana Amelech killed out all the sages, so שמעון בן שטח was able to escape because he was his brother-in-law. So יהודה בן טבעי אומר, and here in our listing of pairs, the first one is always the נשיא and the second one is the אב בית דין. So we know the famous story about Yanai's servant, slave, that killed someone, and Yanai was brought to justice, and Yanai came to court, and Shimon ben Shatach told him, Yanai, stand up and let them testify against you. And Yanai said, I'll stand up when your friends on the court tell me to stand up, not just you. Now Shimon ben Shatach was the head of the court, and Shimon ben Shatach looked to his right and looked to his left, and all his counterparts were scared of the king. They didn't dare say a word. And Shimon ben Shatach cursed them. He said, you aren't doing the law of Hashem, and Hashem should pay you back. And really, they were all paid back. An angel came and killed them all. So Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach, they received the tradition from Yoshua ben Prachia Nitai Arbeli. Yehuda ben Tabai Omer. Yehuda ben Tabai used to say, Al tasa tzmecha kocha dayanim. Don't be like a lawyer. Very often someone has a court case, a case in front of a bet din, and he says, oh, you learned in yeshiva, tell me, what should I claim, what shouldn't I claim? Yehuda ben Tabai says, don't advise him, even though you're convinced that he's right. We don't give people such advice, make this claim, make that claim. Let the justice fall the way it should, and don't teach people how to try and make their claims. People should be honest in front of the courts, and we don't have to try and help them set up their case. Uchshiyu ba'alei dinim umdin ufanecha, and if you're a judge and two people come before you, so you have to look at both of them as though they're wicked. A guy comes in with a court case and he has a long beard and a long jacket, so you think, oh, he would never lie, he would never do something wrong. You can't judge fairly if you think that way. So it doesn't matter how honorable the person is when he comes to be judged before you. You have to look at all the people that stand before you as though they're wicked. They walked into your courtroom, they're all capable of lying, stealing, cheating. That's the way a judge has to view the people when they come before him. וכשנפטרים לפניך, but when they leave before you, after you've given your ruling, יהיו בעיניך כזכאים. So then you have to look at everyone as though they're righteous. People walk out of court, a guy had a claim against someone else, and in order to get off the hook, he had to take a vow. The guy's swearing, you owe me this money, what do you mean you didn't take this money? I gave you this money, I loaned you this money, you owe me the money. And the guy says, no, it didn't happen, I never borrowed it from you. And the other guy's wailing, yes it did, and the court says, okay, you claim you never borrowed that money, take a vow that you never took the money. So the guy takes a vow. So you might walk out of court and say, he must have lied. The other guy wouldn't just be standing there yelling for nothing. That guy must be a sinner to stand, put his hand on the Sefer Torah and take a vow for a lie. The Mishnah says no. If they both accepted your ruling, so when they leave your court, you have to look at them both as righteous people. Don't start thinking maybe he lied. Even if you had to rule, look, you were wrong in this case, you have to pay him back. Don't think later, he was wrong. What kind of cheater is he? No, he thought he was in the right. That's why he did what he did. So after the court case, when the people leave from before you, then you're supposed to look at them all like righteous people. Provided that they accepted your ruling. Sometimes, when people walk out of the court and they say, what does that judge know? He didn't judge me fairly. Then you don't have to look at him as righteous. He's not righteous. He's sinning. But when they accept your ruling, so then you have to look at them both favorably. Shimon ben Shatach used to say, do a lot of cross-examining. Ask the witnesses many questions. Check them out a lot. And as you're talking to them a lot, to ask them, be careful what you say. So you shouldn't teach them what claims to make. Did you see him like this? Yeah. You know, if you lead him on, so then he'll answer you on everything. Yeah. You guys know the story about Diane Fisher, right? Right. The woman came into court. She said, "My husband divorced me back in Europe. I'm allowed to get remarried." So they asked her, "Were there two kosher witnesses?" Yeah. Did he give you the piece of paper, the document? Yeah. Did the court say it was kosher? Yeah. Whatever they asked her, she said yeah. So Diane Fisher got the feeling that she's doing this. She was listening to what they were saying and figuring out what the right answer was. So he told her, you know, when a woman gets married, so she walks around her husband 7 times. Did the courts take you and walk you backwards to undo that 7 times around your husband? So she says, yeah, for sure. Now, there's no such halacha. Never existed, never happened. He made up this story. But she nodded her head and said, for sure, the courts did that with me. So he said, okay, you're telling us a story. It's all a lie. So that's what the mission says. Be careful what you say, because if you speak too much, the witness might know what you want to hear. Shmaya v'Avtalion, Mishnah Yud. Shmaya and Avtalion, they were both Gerei Tzedek. They were descendants of Sanherib who exiled the 10 tribes. And Avtalion was called Avtalion because even though he was the head of court, he ran his own personal orphanage. In his house, he'd gather all the orphans' children whose parents couldn't take care of them or were left in the street. He'd gather them, and that's why he got the nickname Avtalion. Talia in Aramaic is little one. And he fathered the little ones. He'd take them into his house. And we had in the last century a great rabbi who did the same thing, Rav Chaim from Volozhin. His house was basically an orphanage. In Europe, parents sometimes didn't have what to give their children. And very often, Rav Chaim Volozhin would hear a knock on his door in the middle of the night. Him and his wife would open the door and they'd see a basket with a baby. Parents who couldn't take care of their children, they didn't have what to give them, would leave them by Rav Chaim Volozhin's door. He was the rabbi of the town, so he was supposed to get some kind of stipend. So from his meager means, his wife was taking care of many, many children. It reached a point where he could never learn at home. Rav Chaim Volozhin could never learn at home because there were so many children running around his house. They were taking care of so many children whose parents could not take care of them. So he'd always have to leave the house to learn Torah. So Avtalion, the head of the courts, also had a house like that, where he had a lot of children that no one else was taking care of. So that's why he got the nickname Avtalion, father of the little ones, father of the orphans. So Shmaya and Avtalion got their tradition from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shatach. Shmaya omer. Shmaya used to say, Ehov et amlacha. A person should love work. An important concept. A person should love work. A person might say, I have enough money, what do I have to work for? No. If a person is going to be bored, he's going to end up doing improper things. A person should love work. A person is supposed to abhor having free time to just sit back and do nothing. Sitting back and doing nothing leads our thoughts to wander, to improper things. I believe one shouldn't waste one's time. I think that's obvious. So in the bathroom I read different things. So I read a few business books, and it's interesting that one of the things the business books write is that men have this constant fault, that they're always thinking about women. Any minute that they're daydreaming, their mind wanders in that direction.
Wow, you're the only one.
So they write this as a weakness. They write, if you want to be successful in business, you can't spend your time daydreaming. So our Mishnah says, love work. Why does Shema say love work? Because if you're constantly busy, if you're productive, so then your mind is not going to wander to sin. Usna et rabanut. And a person should hate being given the honor of authority. A person might be a rabbi, but he should hate the fact that he's getting honor. Why did Yosef die before his brothers? Because he behaved like a king. He was king. So he was given honor. He was given honor. Arabanut kuvert et be'aleah. We have a rule that being treated with honor causes a person to die younger. The authority and the treatment of respect that one gets with authority causes one to die younger. So Shmaya instructed, love the work, love labor. A person should love to work, and the person should hate the honor that comes with being in a position of authority. Yeah.
But is to become president of the shul, is it also like a position of authority?
I don't know how different presidents behave. There are presidents that sit up front. The rabbis on one side of the parochas, and the president sits on the other side. And then there are presidents who they do a lot of work to help the shul. It's a question of does one, and also I don't think president of a shul usually wields so much power, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm not familiar with shul politics.
And what about Hashem doesn't look at us like everybody is looking to
We weren't talking about Hashem. We were talking about how a judge is supposed to treat the people before him. We weren't talking about Hashem. Ve'al titvada la'rashut. And don't make yourself known to politicians. Politicians seem like they love you, but they press you. There's a guy who lives in our neighborhood who's part of the mafia. So a neighbor... I can't tell you how I know. A neighbor of his had his motorcycle stolen. So there's a guy who came to him and said, I heard your motorcycle was stolen. So he said, yeah, it's terrible. So he said, okay, I'll help you out. And a few hours later, the motorcycle was in front of his house. Everyone's connected. So the guy, the neighbor, got very scared. He said, he just did me a favor. Now I owe him one. Politicians are the same thing. Even if they do you a favor, you're going to owe them one. And then they're going to try to get you to transgress, to do things against the Torah. So our sages say, stay a distance from powerful people. You think it's good to have connections with powerful people? You have connections with the most potent one. You have connections with Hashem. But powerful people are dangerous. We find that Doeg was close to Shaul, and that was his downfall that led to his demise. Shaul told him, go kill out all the Kohanim. And under the pressure of being close to a person of authority, it's very hard to stand up and say no. So the Mishnah said, of course, you're supposed to stand up when you have to, but don't put yourself in test. Don't make yourself known to the politicians, to the people of authority.
But can you make them owe you? Owe to you?
I don't know. Why not? It says, don't make yourself known to them. Try to stay away from them.
For example, you saved like a stunt kids. You saved the relative of a politician, or you saved the politician himself.
It's always good to save people. I don't know. Mishnah Yudalef.
Is it possible to extort the favor from him?
I don't know.
I don't know
if the Mishnah meant that. I don't know. Avtalion Omer. Avtalion said the following instruction. Chachamim. Wise men, sages, be careful what you say. What you say has to be clear, without room for doubt. Lest you say something and the students misunderstand you, and then in heaven they'll hold you accountable and you'll be exiled as a punishment. And you'll exile to a place where there are bad waters, where there are students who are not good students. And then the students who followed you wherever you were exiled to will learn from the new students who are not good students, and they'll die. They'll learn incorrect Torah from these new students that are in your place of exile. And you see how the name of heaven gets desecrated. So this is really a reaction to what Antigonus Ishsocho said. Antigonus had said, don't serve God for the sake of reward. And he had two students sitting there, Tzadok and Baitos, and they said, why shouldn't we serve for a reward? Must be there is no reward. If there is no reward, so what are we doing all this for? And they left the fold, they left the faith, and they developed their own sects of Tzadokim and Baitosim who did not accept the rabbinic tradition. So Avtalion, in reaction to the problems we had with the Tzedukim and Baitusim, gave an instruction to the rabbis, be extra careful what you say. Antigonus didn't say there's no world to come, but he wasn't clear enough in explaining that there is a world to come, but that shouldn't be the driving force behind our performance of mitzvos. So because he wasn't clear enough, the students erred, and therefore Avtalion said, no. Rabbis, you have to be extra careful that people don't err in what you say. I can tell you that this is one of the most difficult things. I pray often that God should grant me the wisdom to say what is right in the right time to the right person in the right way, and it should be understood correctly. Because each of these factors is very weighty, and if you lose one of them, so then you messed up. A correct answer involves all of these factors. Very nice, right? Mishnah Yudvet, Hillel v'Shamai kiblu mehem. Hillel and Shammai got their tradition from Shmaya and Avtalion. Hillel omer, Hillel was the Nasi. Hillel said, we know Hillel was very, very poor. Hillel made Aliyah. He came to Israel after spending years learning by Shmaya and Avtalion. And that year was like this year. It was an Erev Pesach that fell on Shabbos. And they didn't know how they're supposed to bring the sacrifices. So they said, does anyone know what we're supposed to do here? And Hillel said, I know. And Hillel, they told them, there's a modest person named Hillel. He knows. So Bnei Beteira, who were running the show at that time, they sent to Hillel. And Hillel gave them the answer. So they said, okay, we see you know more than us. You should be the chief rabbi. So they made him the Nasi. So he got up to give a lecture. He's the Nasi. And he began by giving Musar. He said, you know why I'm standing up here and you're not? Because I went out to Babylon to learn by Shmaya and Avtalion. As difficult as it was, I killed myself to learn by them. And you guys didn't. It was wrong of you that you didn't go out there to learn by them. God in heaven holds Tzadikim down to a hair's width. And God said, you know, Hillel, you're a very, very modest person, but you shouldn't have said that way. And so a second later, God paid him back. The audience asked him, how do we bring the knives to shecht the Paschal offering on Shabbos? So Hillel was stumped. It's a basic halacha, but God made him forget. Hillel stood there and he said, gee, I don't know. So he said, but I'll tell you what. The Jewish people, im lo nevi'imim, b'nei nevi'imim, if they aren't prophets, they're the sons of prophets. You'll see that tomorrow everyone's going to do what's right. What the next day everyone looked, they saw on Pesach, what did the Jews do? They stuck the knives into the hairs of the goats, and the goats, as they went up to be sacrificed, carried the knives to be sacrificed. And when Hillel saw that, he said, oh, now remember, that's halacha, that's how you're supposed to do it. So this is an important concept, im lo nevi'imim, b'nei nevi'imim, that we say the Jewish people have heavenly guidance to do what's right when it comes to halacha. So Hillel, the famous Hillel, the modest Hillel, the famous Hillel who was so impoverished, he barely had money, he used to chop wood in order to have his meager means to be able to learn Torah. So Hillel says, Hevei mitan vidav shel Aaron, a person should try to be a disciple of Aaron. Ohev shalom, a person should love peace, v'rodev shalom, and seek out peace. We know that Aaron used to love peace when he'd see two people fighting, so he wouldn't turn around and say, that's none of my business, they're fighting. He'd walk over to them and try to make peace. He'd go to one of them and he'd say, you know, your friend, he really wants to make peace with you. He feels so bad. He doesn't know how to come and face you. He wishes you'd be friends. And the guy would say, oh, really? He got you, the chief rabbi, Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. He got you to come and talk to me. Wow, he really must want us to make peace. Then he'd go to the other guy and tell him, you know, Mr. A, he really wants to speak with you. He doesn't even know how to come to you. He feels so bad about what's happened. And they said, really? He got you to come to me? Wow, okay. Then they'd make peace. And Aaron is our first example of a rabbi who was busy with Shalom Bayis when there were couples that had issues. So Aaron got into the picture and he'd make peace between them. Now, I wish you all Shalom Bayis, but it's interesting that the Medrash continues and says that when they'd have peace in their home and they'd have children, they'd name their little children Aaron, in honor of Aaron. So there were a bunch of little Aralach walking around. You had a whole generation where a lot of kids were called Aaron after Aaron HaKohen. So Hillel says we should all try to be students of Aaron. We should love peace. We should chase after peace. Ohevet HaBriyot, one should love God's creations. This has nothing to do whether it's a Jew or not a Jew. God's creation. Umkarvan LaTorah, and bring them close to Torah. And this stresses the point we have to remember that we are all creatures of Hashem. And when we look at a fellow human being, or even an animal, we have to remember this is a creature of Hashem. So we have to have a certain affinity, a certain respect for the fact that, hey, this is a creature of Hashem, and that should cause us to have a certain love for that person. People say this in the name of, I think, Rav Nachman Mibreslov. If you love the father, you love the children. Hashem says, if you love me, you love my kids. Don't tell me you love me, but you have bad things to say about my children. But the truth is that that's the concept of this Mishnah. Ohev et abriyot, love them for the mere fact that they are God's creatures. Umkavan la Torah, and cause them to come close to Torah. And this is where this is a standard question that people ask, and I have a standard answer. People say, what about all these people that don't keep Torah and mitzvot? It's wrong. You have so many Jews in Israel and they're not keeping Torah and mitzvot. And I always say, if we live up to what we're supposed to be doing, then they should be attracted to perform mitzvot. If we're performing the mitzvot in a way that's so beautiful, then they're going to look at it and say, wow, that's amazing. I wish I was like that. I wish my kid was like that. I'm going to send my kid to yeshiva. Depends on how we behave. If we behave the way we should, if we are mikarvan la Torah, we bring them close to Torah, then they will matriculate in that direction. It's our job to be examples of what it is a fine person who's performing the Torah. Huayomer, Hillel used to frequently say. Now this is in Aramaic. Remember, Hillel came from Babylon, so we're going to read it, translate it literally, and then we'll try. Okay, we'll incorporate the meaning. Negad Shemei, if one's name was extended, Avad Shemei, his name's going to be lost. Why? The concept we said earlier, that if one gets a position of leadership, so then usually that causes him to die younger. So if one's negad literally means extended, limshoch, to stretch out. So if one's name gets extended, he becomes famous, so then his name will ultimately be lost. It's a lifnei shever gaon. Before being broken, a person goes up. Usually it's a good formula for being lost. Udela mosif, and whoever doesn't add to his learning, yasif, will be lost. He'll lose his learning. Learning, yeah. Yasif literally means will be collected. Yasif could mean will pass away. It's Aramaic. Yosef means collected, so it could mean a person will pass away. It could mean that what he has will be collected from him. He will lose his learning. Learning is the type of thing that if you ain't going up, you're going down. Many things in life are that way. You got to struggle to move forward, because if you ain't moving forward, you're moving backwards. You can't stay status. You can't stay static. Udelo yalif, and if someone never learned altogether, he never derived Torah, ketalachayav, he deserves the death penalty. A person has to learn Torah. A person that never learned Torah, he deserves a death penalty. But if someone uses the crown of Torah, he uses that for his honor, chalak, he is going to pass from the world. So, tag is a crown. Hillel said, negad shema, one whose name is extended, avad shema, his name will be lost. Udela mosif, whoever doesn't add to his learning, yasef, will lose his learning. Udelo yalif, and if one never derived learning altogether, k'talachayav, he deserves a death penalty. Every person is responsible to learn Torah. Udishtamesh betaga, and if one's learned Torah, and then he uses the crown of Torah for his own benefit, chalaf, he passes away. There's the famous story, who was it? Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa? The Gemara brings a beautiful story. The Gemara, in the beginning of Nidarin, that he had an orchard, and he went and picked fruits from the orchard, and one of the guards saw him picking fruits that halachically he was allowed to pick. Those fruits were considered hefker, but the guard didn't know that, and the guard had people stealing fruits from that orchard for a while, so he pounced on him, put him in a sack, and started carrying him, and he said, "You thief, I'm throwing you into the river, I'm going to kill you, you..." Now, he's being carried in the sack. He's a tremendously wealthy person. He had a tremendous number of orchards of his own, and he was a great, great sage. So, he didn't know what to do. He sees he's about to die. Just want to quote you the name exactly. Let's open up a Gemara. Mm-hmm. Here we go. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara in the Darim, the Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Here we go. It was Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was very wealthy. It was a period when the fruits were already permissible to be taken. And he saw some dried fruits, so he started taking them. And he grabbed the person, the owner of the field, saw Rabbi Tarfon eating from his fruits. He grabbed them, put them in a sack, and started taking them to the river to throw them in the river. Rabbi Tarfon saw he's about to get killed. So he said, "Whoa, Tarfon! Look at how you're going to get killed, Tarfon!" The guy hears he's carrying the chief rabbi in his sack. He's about to kill the chief rabbi. He's scared. He dumps the sack and runs for his life. So the Gemara records that throughout Rabbi Tarfon's life, Rabbi Tarfon regretted that he did that. He'd say, "Whoa, I used the crown of the Torah. I saved myself with the crown of the Torah. Why did he let me go?" He didn't know that really I was allowed to eat the fruits. He let me go because he heard he was carrying the chief rabbi. So the Gemara asks, what should he have done? The Gemara says, he was very wealthy. He should have said, "Hey, buddy, I'll offer you $1,000, let me go. Come, take me home, I'm telling you, I'll give you $1,000 for those fruits." He was so wealthy that he should have found a way to use his money to get out of it and not use his fame. And that's why throughout his life he regretted. He said, "I used the crown of the Torah to save my life." So that's this Mishnah. One is not supposed to use the crown of the Torah. Mishnah Yudalid. Hu haya omer, Hillel used to say, "Im en ani li, if I don't get for myself, mili, who's going to get for me? God put me in this world. I can get merits or I don't get merits. No one else is going to get merits for me. Either I wear tzitzis or I don't wear tzitzis. Either I wake up on time for davening or I don't wake up on time for davening. Only I could get my merits in this world. Uksha ani la'atzmi, and when I'm alone, if I compare myself, if I'm all alone, and now let's tally me up, what am I worth? Mani, what am I really worth? I'll do the best I can. And I'm responsible for fighting for myself, getting the mitzvot for myself. But if I'm really evaluated alone, what am I worth?" This is a very important point. When it comes to gashmias, physical things, we're always supposed to look out for other people. But when it comes to ruchnius, we have to know that we have to take care of ourselves. We're our own responsibility. Ve'im lo achshav imatayin, if not now, when? I can only do it in this world. And this is a very important point. Very often, we think, "I'll get older, I'll learn. I'll make more money, I'll learn. I'll have vacation, I'll learn. Next year, I'll learn." If we delay learning, we're never going to learn. Person has to know that carpe diem, seize the day. Today I can learn, so I should learn today. There are two ways a person could learn. A person could say, "Let me take care of responding to my emails. Let me check my Facebook account. Let me call my parents and tell them hello. I'm thirsty, let me go get a cup of coffee. I'm tired by now, let me take a break." A person could take care of everything and wait till the time is right to learn Torah. He'll rarely get to learn Torah. Or a person could say, "I could learn Torah now. And later I'll deal with my Facebook. Later I'll deal with my email. Later I'll grab the coffee." When a person puts the learning first, "Im lo achshav, if not now, when?" then a person gets things accomplished. So, "Im lo achshav eimatai, if not now, then when?" This is the time. And guys, I'm telling you this. You have two advantages. One, you're in yeshiva. You guys don't yet have a family. You don't have someone telling you, "Come home, clean the dishes. Come home, help me with this, help me with that." You don't have the emotional strength. Having a family requires a tremendous amount of emotional strength. You have to give your time and patience to your spouse and your children. It takes emotionally from a person. It's a beautiful thing. It's what everyone should build. A person's supposed to build a home. But at the same time, it takes not only physical strength and not only time, but also emotional strength. Right now, you're in Olam Haba. You guys are in Gan Eden. You have a situation where everything's being taken care of. You don't have to cook the meals. You don't have to deal with cleaning the dishes after the meals. What do you have to do? You have to sit down and learn. You have to wake up and go to Beis Medrash. I don't know if you will ever again in your life merit to have this situation. So the first advantage is you're in yeshiva. You have shiurim. All you got to do is open your ears and eyes and learn. I don't know if you will again in your life merit to have this situation. And the second thing is you're young. You're, at this stage of your lives, your minds will still retain what you learn. As you grow older, it's much more difficult to retain the learning. Right now, it's all fresh. You're starting fresh. You have young minds. Take advantage of it and learn. Im lo achshav imatay, if not now, when? Mishnah Tetvav. Shammai omer. Shammai says, Asei Toratcha Keva. The Torah has to be the set thing. So here there are a few understandings. One understanding is, a person could say, I have a job 9 to 5. I have a family at night. I'll see where I can fit in an hour of learning. Shammai says, no, the attitude has to be, I have to learn X. Now let me see where I can fit in my job. Let me see where I can make it work. The Torah has to be a set thing. And this is an important point, not only when it comes to time, but also when it comes to deciding where you're going to live. Very often I speak to guys about where they're going to live, and they say, well, we'll see where my wife is learning, we'll see where I get parnasa, and those things are important. But not less important, and very often more important, is the question, where will you have good chinuch for your children? Where will you have a shul where you could grow? Where will you have a community where you can grow? A person can't go out into the desert and say, well, over here I have parnasa, I give tours of the desert. So I don't have minyan, so I don't have a shul, so I don't have a shiur, I have internet. No, a person has to make the learning the set thing. So if it means that we have to sacrifice things for the learning, so then yes, we have to sacrifice things for the learning. But at the end of the day, you have to decide what's important in life. There are people who decide we're going for a place where it's going to be pleasant, and then when their children turn out not the way they want it, ain't so pleasant. You got to think long term. You want your children to turn out the way you want, so you got to choose a place where you have good chinuch for them. We have a good community for them. Yeah.
What would you say then about people that are willing to gamble with that, like in the cause of being outreach, whether it be Chabad, whether it be Yeshua Torah, or you know, they go out and sometimes I see.
This is a very, very complicated decision. There are times when a person says, I have to go and teach, and therefore I'm going to go to a desert to teach over there. Every person has to consult with his rabbi. It's a tough call, and there are different people with different personalities, and that's talking about a person that's attained so much that he's ready to give off to others. I think at our stage of the game, we have to focus on building ourselves and building our homes. Look, the Gemara says, even the great rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, he was the greatest of Rabbi Yochanan's disciples, greater than Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, greater than Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, greater than Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, the greatest disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. When he went off to an area that his wife wanted to go, she said, let's go where there are hot springs. He forgot all his learning. So even a great rabbi, and you're talking about a great Tana, if you go to an area where there isn't Torah, so you can lose what you have. Yeah.
But in the case of being in Yerushalayim, being in Sfat, the whole entire area has some sort of chinuch around it, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's the old city, whether it's Mekas Ha'ir, there's always something around you that you can learn with.
I don't know. If you go live in Ben Yehuda, where are you going to go on Shabbos? Where are your kids going to play? Who are they going to play with? They're going to play with the people on Ben Yehuda Friday night. Matzei Shabbos, what are they going to see? Even in Yerushalayim, you have to choose a place where you're going to have Shiurim, and you and your children are going to have Torah, and your wife. Emom me'at v'aseh hobeh. Shammai gives us this instruction, one should say a little and do a lot. Avram Avinu sees these Arabs, and he invites them home. He says, let me give you a little bit of bread by the time they come in. He prepares them steak, he prepares them special butter and meat and bread. He gives them a whole meal. So he said a little and he did a lot. Person always has to be careful not to take on too much. Better say a little, and when you can, you do more. The wicked, they do the opposite. They promise a lot and they do a little. So a person should rather contain what he says, promise a little, and then if you can, do a lot. This is an error that many men make in marriage. Now, in the morning, the wife says, will you be able to do the dishes tonight? Yeah. I don't think I'm going to have strength to do the floor. Don't worry, honey, I'll do it. And when he says it, he means it. But when he gets home that night, he's wiped. He doesn't even remember what he promised in the morning. So a person has to get into the habit of saying a little, and then ultimately he'll do a lot. And one has to greet all mankind with a pleasant countenance. When someone comes to us, so there's always those few seconds or milliseconds where there's hesitation. Does he want to talk to me? Does he like me? And when someone comes to us and we greet him with a pleasant countenance, that's imperative in making him feel like a wanted human being. So even though Shammai, we know, is always the one that's for justice, Shammai says, this isn't a level of piety, justice. What's right is that when someone comes to you, you look at him and you greet him warmly. So we finished today, we learned the Mishnayot of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. One should not be, we began earlier than that, I'm sorry. We started with Nitai HaRbeli, that a person should distance himself from a bad neighbor and not connect to the Rasha and not be dissuaded, give up from bad things happening. We gave two meanings in that. We learned about Yehuda ben Tabai that said we shouldn't be like the lawyers advising people what to claim. And when we look at people as a judge, so when they enter court, we have to be prepared to look at both of them as wicked so that we'll judge fairly. But when they leave, we have to look at them positively, assuming they accepted the ruling of the court. Shimon ben Shetach instructed us that when we're having witnesses before us, we have to cross-examine them a lot, be careful what we say so they shouldn't learn to lie from what we're saying. Shmaya and Avtalion, Shmaya taught us that a person should always love labor and hate the honor of authority and not make himself known to the politicians. Avtalion, and we discussed that he adopted many orphans, he warned the rabbis to be careful what they say, lest the students misunderstand them and we have a desecration of God's name. Hillel taught us we should be the students of Aaron, loving peace and chasing after peace, loving God's creations and bringing them close to Torah. He also taught us that when one becomes famous, then it's a sure thing that he'll quickly lose his name. One has to add on to his learning or else he loses his learning. If one hasn't learned altogether, then he deserves the death penalty, and one who uses the crown of the honor of the Torah is going to pass from the world. Hillel then taught us that if we don't fend for ourselves in this world in gaining mitzvot, no one else can do it for us. And we have to recognize that if we're all alone, then we ain't worth that much. But we also have to recognize that it's our job to do it, and if we don't do it now, we don't know if we'll ever get a chance to do it. Shammai taught us we have to make the Torah the set thing. A person should speak a little and do a lot. And whoever he greets, he should greet with a pleasant countenance. And this brings us to towards the end of the first chapter. Bezrat Hashem, next week we will pick up with Mishnah Tet Zayin.